Hey everyone, this is Trey Haley, director and president of Tridestin Studios, and you're listening to The Actors Lounge.
Hey guys, and welcome back to an all new episode of The Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show, president of Tridestin Studios, director, producer, Trey Haley. Hey Trey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for being here. I'm happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Of course. How's everything going? Like, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, I just want to do a quick check-in to see how you're doing, how your family's doing. Just how's everything?
Well, everything's going great this way. Staying safe, you know, and just doing my best to stay productive.
Good. Good, good, good. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. So first, let's start off with, I want to know a little bit more about your production company, Tridestin. Can you tell me what the meaning behind, like the meaning behind the name and the role that you play in the company?
Yeah. So the meaning behind the name is, you know, it's like, you know, destined to change the perception of the world. That's the motto that we kind of created around Tridestin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like three, you know, with the pyramids, the power of three, a triangle, the power of a pyramid. You know, it's like bringing something really unique and different to the table, ideally. Mm-hmm. And making it a studio, you know, we named our name. We always believe in naming something the way you see it ultimately. So, you know, as a studio, we want to be a place where people can come and bring projects, we can collaborate with them, help bring their visions to light in front and behind the scenes. So, and empower people of color, women, and everyone, and, you know, just to make sure we're a full representation of everything. That was the vision of what mm-hmm. a place where everyone can be represented and feel like a safe place to tell their stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And what role do you play in the company?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, one of the partners in the company. And as president of Tridestin, I, what is my job now?
Yeah.
My job is basically to make sure, though, creatively, I oversee basically the creative elements, bringing in new projects. You know, from I would say the intro portion of things coming into our company, that first step in a sense of making sure that it aligns with what we want to do, you know, vetting out the situation and making sure it's a great partnership fit before I take it to the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. And we go from that part, you know, to development and yada, yada, yada. So okay. I'm also, you know, like I said, from a creative point of view, I have a extensive post-production background as well. So you know, just over the years and building and just learning more and more about the industry, I've kind of developed a sense of, you kind of know how to get through what's real and what's not, okay. You know, pretty fast.
Yeah.
So let's just say I'm that person who can do that pretty quick.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good skill to have. Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the motto of the company, destined to change the perception of the world. Mm-hmm. What do you think the perception of the world is, and what perception are you creating for the world through your films in particular?
Yeah. So the perception, it's always changing. It's constantly changing. And the power of an image, I think, is what we love so much, is how you can create something from nothing but an idea. Mm-hmm. and mold the perception. So the perception of the world is, you know, I think that, you know, typically speaking, specifically in movies and television, you see a lot of us and all of us, but it's kind of in a micro way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's micro. Mm-hmm. We want us to see us in a macro way. Like we always say, we're very diverse as people, mm-hmm. right? But not only just as African-Americans, but in general, people as a whole. A lot of times people like to put you in boxes, but I always say that, you know, we have to expand these boxes and keep doing our best to show different varieties and ways and storylines. I mean, everything doesn't have to be a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everything doesn't have to be a comedy. Everything doesn't have to be dangerous. It's like really two boxes that I think a lot of times we do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now you have multiple genres within a story.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the more you mix the genres, the more, the wider you'll be able to see a perspectives. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to also play on the stereotypes and stuff like that. But you're never going to always appease everyone. You can't do one thing in one movie. Right. I think we always want that. Why do they do this? You can't do everything in one movie. You mm-hmm. just can't, you know? Mm-hmm. But what you can do is create themes in movies that maybe can. So, you know, we did a movie called Always a Bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. And that movie, for instance, that was a romantic comedy, had no sex scenes in it, though. It was a love story. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you get through that and have two people find love? But the theme, typically you find intimacy as one of the reasons and how they make that happen.
Yeah.
From a sexual point of view.
Right.
But to show love, especially black love, in a different kind of way, right? Without that being that, where it's like two people just really connect on a higher level, that's great. But I would say one of our themes, one of our number one themes, is we like to make sure we win. Mm. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's big. We're not losing. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say this. We have a show called The Family Business. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a crime drama series. But the family is the winning family. Like, you know, when you saw movies or a movie like The Godfather or something, mm-hmm. nobody looked down on that.
Right.
Nobody said, why is the Italian world looking like this? They looked wealth, powerful. There was, and you took the journey from a different perspective. Usually when we're in that world, we're like the low level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
In the end, you're involving other elements of family that's involved in this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but we're powerful. Mm-hmm. So no matter what it is we do, we want to win. We want our characters to win. Yeah.
I love that. And you brought up Always a Bridesmaid. I had Javicia Leslie on the show and I got to interview her. And I felt like that movie was so well done. I really felt like the characters, they were so dignified, professionals in their career, no poverty. Like you said, no sexing, like overall just well done. Like I watched that movie after I was done watching it and I was just like, that movie made me feel good. Like that was a great, positive, like it's reality. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like those stereotypes or, you know, yeah, we're losing. Like it was just well done. So I love that you brought that example up because that movie really spoke to me. Like when I watched that movie, I was just like, wow, that was it was a well done movie. So you guys did a great job on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we want to do. Like we said, once again, the formula of the company as a studio is to create multiple different genres.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got crime dramas, you have the romantic comedies. We did one called Influence, mm-hmm. which is like a legal drama,
yeah.
right? And you have a powerful family of attorneys mm-hmm. representing a lot of different people. And, you know, but you see this once again, a family of attorneys.
Yeah.
So that look like us, they own their own, you know, there's principles that the father has about owning your own property, and they can put these little subtle things in there, like
yeah,
that drive things, you know, to home to people, but you know, still highly enjoyable projects.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I want to talk about, like, how did you actually get into film and television? Like, what was the path that you took to break into the industry?
Yes. So, you know, to be honest with you, you know, when I was in school, in college, mm-hmm. I went to University of North Texas, majored in radio, television, film.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I actually did an internship that ended up becoming a job where I was a cable programmer. Mm-hmm. And at that job, my job was to pretty much, it was kind of twofold. I would put in, you know how you do those local things that happen in the cities, like the basketball games, and the commercials and all that. I had to plug those things in and just make sure at the top of each hour or 30 minutes, the commercials, make sure they were programmed and playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the videos were playing, like for that, like if it was a local show, yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
I did that part. We also shot things like the local basketball games, the local football games, whatever, the local commercials. So I did that while I was actually taking classes.
Okay.
So that really enhanced me on a post-production side, more so than even a production side. And then because I was also a cable programmer, and I closed the shop, the cable program, the cable company down every night because I had to wait until the last show aired. It was like all this equipment in front of me all day. So I really sharpened my, I sharpened my post-production skills, my editing skills in that room.
Nice.
Moving forward, moving to LA, not really knowing anyone when I moved out here, just knew that this is what I needed to do. I was so passionate. I just knew I could do this. I ended up getting, working with, you know, working on sets, music video sets, commercials, behind the scenes, getting post, I got a PA jobs, and this gentleman named Darren Grant, who's the director, does a lot of movies. He directed actually Tyler's first movie. It's the first movie that Tyler did, which was Diary of a Mad Black Woman. That's actually the only movie Tyler never directed. Darren Grant actually directed that movie. Darren did tons of music videos, a lot of those Destiny Child videos and stuff like that. Money Ain't a Thing, the Maya videos and all that. It was like Hype Williams, Darren Grant, and someone else.
Oh, you know, wow.
But he did a lot of that. So I was mentoring behind him, learning behind him. I also did an internship at with Morgan Freeman's company for 6 months, in that, which I got a chance to learn the insides of seeing a production company run. And that was very helpful. They also showed us like how to do the pitches, how every department of every element of a production, from pre-production to post, and even like I said, even being in meetings, watching how things run, that was what they gave back in return. So that was a great experience. So those are the things I did. But along the way, I met my business partner Indy Brown at the time, and we just start we just decided, why wait? We got some equipment. I had this editing background. She had the business background, and she was producing. I direct. We just start shooting.
Wow.
And then we just went and went and just kept putting things out. And, you know, I said we gave ourselves a start by, I got to start by giving myself a start.
I love that. Yeah.
So that's kind of the journey it took, you know, and you put down a brick and you put down another brick and you just keep going until you look up and like they say, you got a wall after a while, you know, and then you got a building and you're like, oh, you got a house. Oh, wow. Now you got a foundation. So that's the process which I took. I thought originally I was going to have to be a music video director to break in, because at that time, that's where I was seeing music video directors breaking in. But now there's so many ways to do it now.
Yeah, that's interesting. So okay, as you worked in the music industry as well, like directing around music and stuff, and then, you know, television, film, do you notice any, are there any differences in the world, similarities? Like, was it an easy transition, or how, I know you gave yourself opportunity.
Like I said, because I thought, well, what I'm saying is I thought being in that space, that that was the direction I was going to have to go. You know, you're seeing people doing the videos, the music, the commercials. But then as technology advances and you start to see the world shifting to, you are in a position to empower yourself now.
Right.
And be able to, there's no, you know, you can get cameras and, you know, even more so now than ever, that are pretty good, you know, and if you have the right people around you, put the right team around you, you can, there's, you can definitely showcase your abilities.
Right.
You know,
right.
So even on the acting side, directing, writing, whatever, you know, you just put your team together. So that's my, always my push on people is build a team.
Okay.
And go from there. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the best ways to find internships like today? Like, what are some of those resources?
You know what? It's really just being really bold and direct, reaching out to people that maybe, you know, you look up to, or that companies, you know, there's so many ways to do internships, you know, even if, no matter what state or city you're in, you know, just look at the local, like, film commission, call them, they can even tell you what movies or shows or TV shows are being produced in that town or in your city or wherever. And then, you know, you get the contact number to the production manager or, you know, a production coordinator. I would say that that's what you do. Or even, hey, you see somebody posting that they're shooting a film, why, hit them up on Twitter or DM them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm an intern. I'd love to do an internship or to be a PA on set. What's the process? Or who would be the best person to reach out to? You know, that's what I would do.
Yeah. No, that's helpful. And like you said, that being like being bold and just kind of fearless, professional, but still bold, putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Be professional. But what is it to say, to ask?
Yeah.
You know, most people are like, oh, I want to ask. Is it why?
Right.
All that can happen is someone not respond or say no, or not at this time, or maybe not. But that's all that can ever happen. And you didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. You're in the same place if they say no.
Still back in the same place. So right. All that could really possibly happen is somebody says yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or they say no, and then somebody gets fired on that set or gets sick and they need a PA. And you know that, hey, somebody reached out to me not too long ago.
Right.
That's why you just put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Take your shot. Yeah, for sure.
Take your shot.
So for those who may not know, can you explain what the difference between a director and a producer is? I feel like this is a question that people maybe
always ask.
Yeah, they always ask, since you've done both.
You know what? It's funny. I think that's such an easy answer. I mean, I'm in my mind, of course, we're in this world, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But I've heard people ask me, now, what does that do? What do they do? What is the difference? I agree. Mm-hmm. The director oversees the creative aspect of a project, particularly a movie. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about movies and television. On the movie side, the director typically is the visionary behind the project. From I would say, if you take a pie, 75% of it is the director's vision. Mm. The reason why, I'll give you what the other 15% is, and that other 15% is heavy, like in a different space, but it leans on his vision because that's that his or her vision, because that is a voice on set moving the act, you know, working with the actors, working with the camera department, working with the production designers and the hair, makeup, wardrobe, with the what you see on camera, working with the producers to mold a story a certain way and devise it in a way for the audience to receive it, right? So the director, that's his job or her job, you know, talking to the actors about the choices that they make or making sure that they're going in the right direction in how they portray those characters.
Okay.
Making sure that when that camera is moving a certain way or cuts a certain way in the edit, working with the editor, making sure that it's, like I said, the story is being directed towards the audience in a certain way, visually. A producer is macro. So the director is like a coach. Like a head coach of the football team. Okay? It's a good analogy. People understand that. And the head coach has all his assistants around him that all help him or her make the choices to guide the team. Then the producers, typically, and there's a lot of different kind of producers, but most of the time a producer oversees the macro, meaning like the locations, making sure the payments are getting paid. Everybody's getting paid. Director ain't worrying about that. That's on the producers.
Okay.
The producers are making sure locations and the contracts and all the things that have to make that machine work. That's their job, is making the machine work.
Okay.
And the director and the producer's support really should be supporting each other, right? The director should never make the job of a producer hard. Meaning like, well, I don't care. I want it this way. This is what typically happens sometimes. They're just so focused in on their vision. They're not thinking about, you got to finish this location today. Right. This is all the day. We only have it for today. Then it's your job as the director to get through your day, finish your shots, and everything that's supposed to happen in that location, whether it's four times in a movie or not. You got to just get through it. And you don't make it. And your producer makes sure with their team that they're getting that done. So the producer is like the owner of a team. And think about all the things that the owner has to deal with. Parking, blah, 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 everything. The facility, the people that work in the facility, all the people, all the way down to hiring the coaches, to the hiring the director, hiring anything, you know, the players. It's the same thing in the movies, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So that would be the great analogy, I would say, okay. On that side.
Yeah.
You know.
That creates the picture. I see the visual. Mm-hmm. It's pretty clear.
And the producers have teams. So, you know, there's like typically like a lead producer.
Okay.
And then their team. And then there's a people that are around them. There are other producers that help that producer effectively move through the system to make these things happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as far as, because you've directed a number of projects, like what would you say your approach is as a director, and how do you get the best performances out of the actor?
Yeah. You know what? I use a system of collaboration, to be honest with you, for me. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a very collaborative director. And most of I would say 80%, I would say these percentages, of casting is 80% of the job. Mm-hmm. Cast it right, because you're picking people to fit those characters, right? And some people just naturally come in and do what they do. You don't have to even tell them much, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that have element, like they have it, but then there's specific things that you want them to do within it. And that's what I do when I talk about the collaboration part. Like, there may be some things that I hired you to bring what that person brings. It's mm-hmm. like, that's why they call people like brands. They say, well, it's my brand. That's my brand. For instance, if you have Denzel Washington on set, I don't know how much directing you're going to really give directing. I mean, to direct Denzel Washington or Morgan Freeman or like Angela Bassett comes on.
That's true.
They're going to bring, you're hiring them to do what they do.
Yeah.
You know, but you can guide them. Like, you know, they may say a line this way, but you say, you know what? Actually, if you can say it more like this, because we don't want to tell it too much. You don't want to be, you know, sometimes you can emphasize something in one way and it's like you really get it. Mm-hmm. But then you can do something a little more subtle. Okay. And most people wouldn't catch it, especially like if it's a mystery film. You know, subtlety is key, because, or you really want to be on the nose with something, because maybe you want to make one person be like a red herring. Mm-hmm. And you want that person to, you know, be a little bit more on the nose with their line, and it makes people think, you know what, that person right there is probably the person who did it. Mm-hmm. And it's really the person who's more subtle is actually the person that actually did it.
Right.
But if the person that was subtle, or you could do both, make both people on the nose, and then you're confused. Oh man, I don't know if it's him or, you know, it depends on, once again, that's directing. How are you moving the storyline to make the audience lean this way or that way? Mm-hmm. This is like an Always a Bridesmaid, you know, when he proposed to her.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa. And then she's like, she took a moment, you know? why are you asking me to do this? And then we were like, oh, please. You know, people were like, girl, if you don't. I'm not going to tell anybody who's seen it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly.
There was a journey there.
Yeah.
But that was guiding the performance a little bit to make sure that it just didn't happen so fast. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are the little things I do as far as like talking to the actors, working with them, seeing their perspective of it too. Because I'm not the type of director to just be like, well, my way is the only way. Mm-hmm. We got multiple people here that have different perspectives of life.
Right.
And have seen a lot of different things. So why not hear them out? Somebody says, hey, you know what? I like that. But do you mind if I add this or change this word a little bit here to fit? You know, I just want it to be as natural as possible and make sense within the scene. Mm-hmm. And together, as a director, my actors, I like to let them be loose on their lines. If I have a script with the writer, I tell them, listen, there's what you put on the page, but then there's what people have to bring this thing to life.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I say writing is like the template to a building, the blueprint of a building. Mm-hmm. But then you got to put that building on some solid ground and hope that it fits your image of what you really created. Once we start making this building, that's like the actor has to build this character, and they have to make it make sense for them too.
Right.
So I want them to take this character in and just be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I love the collaborative mindset of like the director and the actor.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that just creates an environment of really being able to tell the story like in a fluid way, because I feel like if it's just one voice, like, you know, the director's like, do it this way, you know, and it, it kind of like boxes the actor. They don't feel like they can, you know, speak or like have any say so. So I think the collaborative way is like the best way to get the story across.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, every director is different. Like, you know, right. Hey, you know, I probably, I would say maybe Quentin Tarantino has a style. Mm-hmm. When you listen, but I also think he hires people for his style. There's a reason why he picks Sam Jackson and certain people, because they talk like, it's incredible when you see the script that, like, a Quentin has written, and then you watch, because it sounds like a lot of times it's improv that's happening on set. Mm-hmm. Like, those way the words are being said, man, you got to be out, choked. You know, right. It's like it's a whole flow to the way the words come out. But when you read it, those words are on page. Mm. That's on the page. But he hires people that fits the sound of what he wants, that he's looking for.
Right.
Once
right.
again, I think there is a collab. And then, so then it versus somebody that, man, I love that person's acting, but he doesn't fit quite the style of the way I like to see things happen versus me. I like the natural mm-hmm. elements of things. I mean, like, when it comes, you know, I think if you collaborate with an actor, you do the collaborative element with the actor, you will end up getting more right. out of it than what you can expect.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, like, the distribution process. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about, like, what the process is of getting a film distributed and what your company's doing to make that process, like, more attainable for independent filmmakers and producers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the distribution process is quite a journey. We have found, for us, you know, we built our formula 80% of the time. We usually have an idea before we create anything, and I would say 90% of what we do is independently financed or funded. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we might do a collaboration with a distributor where maybe they pay 50%, we do 50%, but we always go into it knowing what the marketplace wants. We don't, you know, now there's people who have changed the marketplace, but at this moment we have projects that we feel are, like, when I say change the marketplace, like, the marketplace is, it's like they know this is what they're looking for. This network knows what they're trying to slot for a certain types of genres, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Netflix knows the kind of movies they're looking for.
Right.
You know, they kind of have an idea of things that they will bring into the fold, and then there's things they just need to see it before. Mm-hmm. It's like you're coming to them with an out-of-the-box concept. Sometimes they may be, sometimes they're like, I love it. But then there's distributors who are like, I don't know about that at first. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a chance on these things. But for us, we kind of know projects that we like. We see scripts that we're really interested in. Yeah. We have meetings with people. And then we'll know kind of like how much potentially this thing could sell for. You know, and so we do a business model so that we always want to make sure our investors make their money back. Mm-hmm. Right? We want to make multiple content. We're not a one and done kind of company, you know? Right. So we want to just keep the consistency and build with our consistency and build those relationships with those distributors where they trust us so much that we can do whatever we want, mm-hmm. however we want. And they just love us because we've proven ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right. So most of the times what happens is a lot of people haven't proven themselves through a project yet, or they don't know what this is that somebody's about to make. So it's harder for them to get the distribution up front or to at least some level of confidence that they can make sure this thing is sold. But what we've done, because we've built that trust, we now have the ability, if we see somebody else's projects, we can vouch for them now. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Somebody can say, hey man, I have this movie or this TV show that I made. Do you know of any places that possibly would want it? Mm. Well, you know, we're now in a position to bring that to the table to our distributors.
Wow.
You know, awesome. And whether we get just like a finder's fee or yeah. placement fee for it or whatever, you know, it all depends on the scenario. Mm-hmm. But we're willing to, you know, bring that to the table with, because all this stuff is about relationships, you know, yeah. and trust.
Yeah.
And there's so many elements when it comes to distribution, because every distributor has their own way of how they do their paperwork. They do their, I mean, they vetted process, you know, they vet you and make sure that, you know, you're not going to, they're going to give you some money and then you disappear. you know,
right?
Or you didn't turn the stuff in correctly. You oversold yourself, you know. You go in and say, oh yeah, we got all this stuff. And then they say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to do it. And then they look up and you're like, you don't have this, this, and this. I thought you said you did. So working with people that they trust, they've seen it and it's consistently done it. Mm-hmm. They know their process. Now we can usher people in.
Yeah.
That's the formula of what we've been building so far.
That's awesome. I mean, like you said, it's creating so many opportunities and you're like becoming you're almost like the middleman, the link, you know, like you can vouch for other people and help them
absolutely
get their projects moved along. That's great. That's a great position to be in. Like you're in a position to give back to other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and once again, Tridescent Studios is the vision,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, obviously the goal is to end up even having your own distribution models where you can do your own thing. But those are all these things, and everybody's like, well, we need to have our own distribution. But it's so many factors in just building your own distribution. You just don't do it tomorrow. You have to build a system and be able to put yourself in a position. I mean, now streaming is huge, right?
Yeah.
So you want to build a streaming platform. Well, you need to have the bandwidth and the memory to hold hundreds of films,
yeah.
You know, the money, the capital. So you got to have a real solid plan of action. And it's very possible. You just have to have a plan and you have to have people behind you that believe in your plan to make it happen. So,
yeah.
You know, all of that is part of the vision of Tridescent too, as well.
Okay. So eventually you guys would want to have your own like streaming service.
I mean, I think what we would want to do is be in a position to have moments where we could do things like that. But there are moments where you do want to collaborate with other people because they have big, you know, they're going to be able to get that thing out in a wider way.
Right.
So it just really depends on each project,
gotcha.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So looking back, like over your career and just, you know, everything that you've accomplished thus far, I want to talk a little bit about patience, honing your craft, longevity, and maintaining that longevity. What would you say are the main things that helped you to maintain your longevity in this business?
Yeah, the number one thing is treating people right and keeping your word. And, you know, if you say you're going to deliver something, deliver it on time. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, and being consistent as well, don't disappear for 3 years and then try to come back because so much can have changed, different relationships and people have moved, you know, so it's a different thing, you know, like just some of your relationships that you've been building, you know, people move into different positions so fast in a year. It's like, you know, they're here one time and they're over here, meaning like whether that's your distribution relationships, it's, keeping relationships with your actors, making sure that they trust you, making sure that they feel good when they're coming on set, that they believe in you. You know, like they're not going to quit. Oh man, you know, you don't want that actor. You know, I say, man, you know what? I worked with him on this project or her on this project, and now, you know, two projects later, you think they're perfect again to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, you know, but you didn't pay them right. You didn't do something. You didn't handle the business portion correctly.
Yeah.
We're very creative in this game, but a lot of times we're not on our business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's going to take you a long way is the professionalism, how you treat people. That's the key. Creating a team around you that believes in your vision. These are keys to longevity.
Yeah. I love that. Now, my final question I want to ask you is, you know, with everything that's been going on with the coronavirus and just being shelter in place and everything and the industry just being shut down, what is your advice to creators? Like, what do you suggest that they be doing during this time?
Yes. At this time, this is the time I look at it like, you see, I'm a big analogy person. Mm-hmm. I look at it like planting. This is the time to be planting the seeds, right? Writing, creating new ideas, creating collaborations with other filmmakers now. You have no reason to not be contacting each other, talking things out, say, hey, man, you know, you may have a project put on hold right now because of this. But when you come out of it, you'll now have, there's now time to talk among each other to build for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get out of this, you can already have other things set up to move forward. This is the time to reassess your goals right now.
Yeah.
You know, see, there may be an idea that you've been trying to write for years. Now, you know, or get out. Here's the time to plan it out more specifically plan it out as far as how you want to, you know, navigate making this thing happen, seeing how the world is changing, seeing that streaming is where everything is going now, and how you're going to maneuver in this new world, how you rearrange your content to be around this new world, because who knows how long it's going to be before we can really have lots of people on set working on each other and doing, you know, you might have huge crowd scenes and this in your movie. And you know, maybe you need to reassess a different concept, or you have like your A script and then you have another script that's more, you know, based on the world that we're in today, you know, and how you would still, so you won't be like, dang, my script is, there's no way I can make this movie now because of this. No. Don't say what can't happen. Figure out how you can make it happen, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can, when we're back in, you can give them a new vision of the world we're in now, and on production, how you will be able to create this project, you know, like the ability to really create it, like on set without, like I said, if you got a huge crowd scene or a club scene with hundreds of people in the bar and all this, well, maybe now the bar needs to be closed, and it's just you and the bartender and the owner in the bar.
Yeah,
you know,
making those adjustments,
but being proactive, finding, not letting, you always should wake up in the day, controlling your own destiny and not letting the world control your destiny. You know, like that's what a lot of times people are reactive instead of proactive.
Yes.
And I mean, I think it's the best time to be proactive. You're sitting at home. Most people are sitting at home.
That's true.
Instead of looking at the TV all day, create your own TV, right?
Yeah.
Get pen to paper, get on the phone, have Zoom calls with your friends or FaceTime and your fellow filmmakers and say, hey, man, or hey, you know, I'm saying man, but you know.
I know what you mean. You know.
Yeah, let's get together and figure out how to collaborate on this or that or whatever. So that's what I would do.
Yeah. No, you're completely right. You're so right. And you know, it's funny because I've been able to do so many podcasts, obviously, because, you know, everybody's home and people love sharing their stories. So it's like a great time right now just to reflect and like get those ideas out. And I love how you talked about, you know, like if you're writing something right now, like figuring out a way of how you can adjust that. So going forward, you know, like if you had a scene that's like, oh, a bunch of people in a club, you know, like, figure out a way that you can make it work for the changes in the industry. I think that's so brilliant. That's really smart to think about. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show, coming on, sharing your story, and sharing your expertise in the business. I really do appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me. And
of course,
you know, anybody out there that, you know, needs some advice, you can, you know, reach me at, you know, on Instagram. Obviously, I'm on there at, you know, that thing is what, Tridestant, Trey Haley, TDS. That's my Instagram. And you can DM me, you know, and I'll do my best to get back to you. You can also try at Tridestant, TRIDESTINED is our Instagram page. DM on that as well. And we have multiple people on that who always are looking on there. So that's another good way to DM us as well. If you want, if it's casting, you want to submit headshots or whatever, casting@tridestin.com, and you can submit your headshots, because we're always looking. People always say, well, how do you cast? I mean, we do put things in background, in the background, I mean in the breakdowns, but and we put it out there, but hey, we do also look at casting at Tridestin. We have our casting people looking to that all the time, about people who have submitted directly to us.
That's awesome. So you can submit your headshot, like a clip or something, tape.
A headshot and a link. I'd say a link, you know, because don't make the a huge, don't send us like a 50 megabyte. like be really, make shrink that picture, man. Don't
right.
Make that picture, let you know, the not the size of the picture visually, but the size of the, you know, the megabytes. And we don't want to load it up. But links are great. If you have Actors Access link, put that link in there and put your headshot and say, hey, or you have, here's my updated reel. Please keep me in mind for blah, 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 or whatever.
Okay.
That's a way to also reach out to us.
That's great. That's great to know, because you guys are doing a lot of amazing things. So that's good for actors to know that, you know, you can submit yourself just to projects. So yeah, thank you so much for that information. I appreciate you for being here, and yeah, thank you again.
No problem. Thank you. And, you know, good luck with everything. And again, I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. You have a good rest of your day. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.